thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. You know, my prayer, Lord, you move me out of the way that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. For Lord, this is your word. May we never be the same because we'll be in it. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, amen. Amen. You know they're visiting?
Amen.
And if you hear an amen, that's probably some people we won't visit. So if you turn to the book of Esther. Bill, won't you drop by to see me before you leave? The book of Esther, chapter 5. Ladies, this is about you. It's for the next couple of weeks as we go through chapter 5. I wanted to finish chapter 5 in one sermon, but I forgot that we had communion today. And our sermon starts at communion. We don't like to put it at the end, and that's what it ended up being, the end of the service. And it's too important to allow that to ever interfere with understanding how important communion is. So I've already been preaching ever since we started communion. So if you come back next Sunday and say, man, that preacher didn't preach very long, I'm going back. You're going to be a shell shock. It's about women. It's about Esther. It's about submission. My wife says, yay. There you go, honey. It's all about submission, isn't it? That's a tough word in Christian circles today for men and women. But biblical submission when it comes to women is amazing. God gives the responsibility most of the women for one reason. The strength that God gave you. He always asks the strongest to submit. Did you know that? Some of you are saying, yeah, Pastor, right. You're just trying to make us feel a little bit about what you're talking about. But we know the truth. Submission is hard. That's why it takes strength to do it. So are you excited about the sermon? And Esther chapter 5. Yeah. Talking about submission. So if you are happy, let me see if I can change your mind. Verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court of the king's house, opposite the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, opposite the entrance of the house. Now, that could be a little confusing, but it's very, very clear. Let's see if we can get that cleared up right. And so it was when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Now we got to the very first part of verse 1 last week before the phenomenal disappearance. When it came to pass on the third day, then Esther put on a royal robe and stood in the inner court and went to see the king. We established that, isn't it amazing that prayer oftentimes can be a way to try to get out of responsibility. Prayer can be a good way that you and I can procrastinate. Can I have an amen, somebody? That was a great response, wasn't it? A silent amen. But I can read your faces. I've been here long enough. Only a couple of you agreed on that. We do. We got to be honest as Christians. We can sound spiritual. Well, I need to pray about it. Now, if you already know what God wants you to do, why are you praying about it? Because I need 3 or 4 more days before I'm going to be obedient. Am I the only one? Oh, okay. Praise God that there's more sinners in here besides me. Yeah, we're sinners. Well, I need to pray about that. I need to get together with the family. We'll pray about that. If you know the answer, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, pray about how you're going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
It's difficult sometimes to do what God has called us to do. But I can sound spiritual. Esther could have done the same thing. As a calling to Mordecai and say, hey, pray for 3 days. Fast for 3 days. Don't mention prayer, but hopefully they pray. I'm not feeling too good after these 3 days. Could you get the other people to pray for 3 more days? I think we need a little bit more prayer on this situation because it's pretty important to try to save the Jews here. I being one. I don't know. It could have been a good thing to pray for a couple more days. But what did she do? She set the limit. At the end of the limit, she was obedient. She got up. Come on, girls. She got up and she put on the royal robes. Come on now. You think the girl knew how to look good for the king? See, I don't want to have to get brotherish from the pulpit here, ladies. So y'all better join in a little bit better than what you're doing. You might as well enjoy the whipping. Now, what if Esther had an attitude like most of the women have today when it comes to their husbands? Esther knew how to dress up. She knew she was good looking. She had won the beauty contest. Looks made her queen. Did she depend on that? No. When she knew she was going to see the king, the girl went to the paint and body shop. Can I have an amen? Jumped on some makeup. She had makeup for her makeup. Can I have an amen? I love ladies, man. I love y'all when you dress up. It's something else. We are men are nothing but dogs. And we like a good looking woman. Oh! You think the king's any different? No! Think Esther knows he's any different? The last thing she said was, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to go looking good. Can I have an amen, girl? You know, she had been to every salon. She had been to every spa in her time. You had the girls were helping. You know, the girls got in trouble. The other queen in trouble. Elsa had those girls. You know they was picking makeup for her. They had putting the right curls in there. Put makeup on to smooth the face out. Then you put makeup on the like you got. Put your eyelashes on the ironing board. Plunk them out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. These women go through to look good for stupid men. Amen. And we'll say something stupid like, what's that? And when she came in, she didn't rush in. She waited back there in a submissive attitude, waiting for the king to see her. You go, well, Pastor, for heaven's sakes, it is nothing like it is today. Come on, you're just trying to make it seem. The king had the opportunity to kill Esther if he didn't like it, and nothing would have been done about it. So don't talk talk to us about her submitting. That has nothing to do with what's going on today. You know what? Your husband may not have the ability to kill you without breaking the law. But every one of us, husband and wife, has the power to kill a marriage.
Amen.
And you know, even Christians who kill marriages, most of the time nothing is done about it. You know, you and I have the ability to kill a family. What's the difference? Kill relationship with children. Kill relationship with parents. We may not have the right to kill one another physically, but man, do we have and think we have the right to do it in many other ways. Not Esther. No. God had other girls helping her put on the right robe. You know what I'm talking about? Color coordinated. Ow! Go, girl. Go, girl. Go, girl. She's going to walk in there on the king and make him, But can I be a little honest with you?
Yes.
Let me see if I can be a little honest with you. What if Esther had the same attitude in her day going to see the king that many other women have been taught to have today? What if Esther said, hey, he ain't called me in 30 days, hadn't talked to me in 30 days. You think I'm going to dress up for him? Do you think it would have been a little different if she would have showed up in those red hair rollers? I'm just asking. I'm a man, I don't know. You can teach me. Do you think the king would have responded a little differently if she walked in there with cream on her face and hair rollers? Thick cream on her face. Scrape it off with a shovel. Why? Because I'm his wife. I do not have to take how he's been treating me. Do you think she had the right to have cotton between her toes when she walked in there? I'm sorry, you know, every now and then I watch TV, I see what goes on. Girl, be fixing it. How y'all spread your toes those wide? Dude, just stick that boulder between your toes. I'm just asking, do you think it would have been just a little different response from the king? No, she was not going in there mess. She went in there beautiful this morning. I'm not going to tell you what I said to my wife, but she was getting dressed. I was like, woo. Used to be a time I had a philosophy before kids and visitors. You want a devil out of the house. If she got arm distance, something's going to be touched. Can I have an amen? Oh! Dogging me. It's Pastor New, but I think you ought to write a song about that. It's just a dog in me. A country song. We're a church for all peoples. She only dressed up on the outside, girls, when she went to see the king. Good looking as, just fine. What? That's what the brothers go when a girl looking. Oh, girl, you know, you just fine. Wish I had a biscuit. I'd just sop you up.
Some of y'all gonna get it on the way home and just start laughing. Be fine. But she had a, what if she had a bad attitude when she walked in there? Looking good, and her attitude just stinks. Yeah, I'm here. If it weren't up to me, I wouldn't be here. But that just make all the beauty kind of just be forgotten. And oftentimes the beauty inside is more gracious than the beauty outside. And sometimes we forget, especially we that are married, that we ought to dress up both of them at times for one another. Had two ladies up and go, Did you think I was talking about the men? Just kidding. So she came in opposite the king's house in royal apparel, dressed up, got the right attitude, humbled herself, stood there and waited for him to notice her. Wow. That just gets me. That brings up another point for me. Is it okay if I throw something else in? Might as well say yes, because I'm going to do it anyway, right? She did this to go see the king of Persia, her husband. King of the most powerful place in all the world at that time. As Christians, how do we dress when we go see the King of Kings? Do you know how to go see God? Sometimes I don't think so. Well, I can say a lot of times I don't think we know how to go to God. When we dress properly, do you know what the right dress, what apparel, what clothing you got to have on to really go to the King of Kings? I'm glad that God is not like Xerxes. I'm really glad. We know he's full of grace, but he's still God. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do you dress when you go see him? Should I talk to you about the right apparel? If you want to go see the king? I think it's a good thing for us to talk about, you know. Because a lot of us don't know how to dress to go see the king. First, you got to have on your undergarments to go see the king. Your undergarment is prayer. It's prayer. Do you know the only way we can communicate to God at any time is prayer? That's the only, if you're talking to God, you're praying. I don't think some of us think about that. So as you get ready to go to the King of Kings, you got to put on the undergarment of prayer. What happens in prayer? How does that right garment be covered with the right things in order to talk to the King of Kings? First thing we got to do once we get into prayer, if you're going to go to the King of Kings, we need to confess our sins. Can't hear you. There's no response out here today. Amen. I need some response. I can get sick on you again and walk out of here. Confession. Get rid of your sins. You can't go to the King of Kings with all kinds of sin and all kinds of curls and all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of things hanging on. When you go to the king, you got to be right. You know, it's like coming to church. You got to get right before you get in the church. If you don't get right before you get in the church, very seldom are you going to get right in the church, because there's too many people that want you distract you. I was in a church service one time years ago. I was doing a communion service. Never forget it. And I leaned over and said something to a friend, and she said, "You're supposed to be confessing your sin and getting yourself right." man, I go, wow, that's an amazing statement. I thought it was too late to get yourself right. When you're sitting in, I thought we were supposed to get ourselves right before we get in the church. Can I have an amen? Amen. Do we really get right before we get in the church? A lot of us come to church and we'll argue when we pull up the park. Talk about how each other drive. You been in a car with the opposite sex? Amazing, because we drive so differently. We men are laid back, women are aggressive. We thought men are aggressive on the road. Oh. And y'all can think of words to call another lady. It's messing up your day. You trying to get home to take care of that baby? Come on, talk to me, girls. Amen. On the way to church, man. No, we got it together. We got to have confession if you're going to go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then you can do the next step. You know what the next step is? Then you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit before you open your mouth to the King. You know how many of us open our mouths to God before we are controlled by the Spirit of God? And one of our prayer life is so bad. Wednesday night in the class, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, across the hall, we're going to talk about prayer and the correct way to pray. Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, if He's not involved in the way you pray, you're not praying correctly. Get the Holy Spirit in control when you want to go see the King. Do you want to mess up when you send someone as important as the King? You think Esther wanted to mess up? No, she's going to the King? Or did she have her thoughts together? Know what she was going to say. Know what she wasn't going to say. Holy Spirit does that for you. You get ready to say something, Holy Spirit says, Keep that to yourself. You know, many of us as Christians ought to learn how to encourage ourselves. Really. That's a great thing to have in your life. You can encourage yourself. If you can encourage yourself, you are a lot more pleasant to be around. I walk into church sometime. I know you walk into church sometime, and I got a motto. If I meet someone without a smile, I try to give them one of mine. Yeah. And some of the people I give smiles to, oh my goodness, you should see what's on their face when they walk by. Be afraid to talk to them if I wasn't a Christian and had bodyguards. That was the only Christian like we're carrying the world on our shoulders. And it may be, but you got to learn to encourage yourself. And you do that by being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we got three of them on the right garments on how to go see the King. What's the fourth garment? Let me say. Oh, no, petitions of praise. Can't hear you. Petitions of praise. Tell God what you think about it, how you love Him. How good He is. Woo! He loves to hear that from you. Lord, if you never do anything else for me, what you've done for me is good enough. Don't lie about it now. If you say it, mean it. You got to give Him praise. You got to tell Him you know Him. You know who He is. You know what He's done. Remind Him to remind yourself what He's done for you. A garment to go and see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, not the movie. Can I have an amen? Some of you going, what? Think about it. How about the fifth garment if you're going to go see the King? Petition of your needs is last. last? You're last. It's about what you want and need. Now, God's going to supply your needs. You ain't got to worry about that. It's in wants. We got a problem with it, time. And our God is so good, he'll even give us some wants. Can I have an amen? Right, well, we've got lots of wants. I mean, I know we receive lots of wants. They got needs. It's because of God's people and because of God who's brought those people in our lives. Amazing. So you need the petition of your need. You know what the Bible tells me about our needs? Anybody? Running always last. Matthew chapter 6. Had to go there. We don't have enough time. It's communion Sunday. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 said, do not be like the heathens with vain repetition. Over and over and over again, praying things that don't really matter, you really don't mean. But pray accordingly, because your Father in heaven already know what you need before you ask. Oh, that's a God right there. That's a King of Kings right there. That's a Lord of Lords that know every aspect of us. He's not like Xerxes. We're going to find out Xerxes got to go. Esther, what do you want? God isn't like that. He already knows what our needs are. Well, Pastor, if we got the needs and he tell him we need these other garments, why do we end up having our needs? Because he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to tell him. He wants you to mind yourself. He wants you to make sure you hear what you're asking for. All of a sudden, as you begin to have the other four garments in place, you may realize it's not a need. Is the baby jumping?
Yes.
Oh, the babies, I should say, huh? They like my sermons, don't they? That's right. You ought to like them too. Unborn child over there having excitement over the sermon. You know. If I wasn't preaching right now, I'd come and put my hand on your belly, let your husband slap me. Man, I'm gonna tell you, you look at what's going on, what our petitions and needs. God already knows. And the finished product of how you pray is in Matthew 6, again, verse 33 and 34. It says, seek, this is God speaking, seek me first. When you go and you're doing those petitions of praise, and you're telling him all about himself, and you're seeking him, and you want to find him in prayer, woo! Talk to me, church. Well, I mean, it's nothing like just meeting the Lord in prayer. Just his presence is there. To seek me first. Don't come to me just for your needs. Don't come to me just for what you can get from. Come after me. And then all these things will be added unto you. What thing? All your needs. Because if you get so caught up in me that you forget to ask what you need, I've already told you, verse 7 and 8. I already know. You know what, man? If my kids got so caught up in me that they wasn't concerned about what they're going to get for Christmas, they'll probably get everything they want for Christmas. Because I'm a father. We're parents. We like our kids to have the right priorities. But when my kid come to me and ask for a new $600 bike, and they hadn't ridden in a whole year the $200 bike, I'm a parent. I should be smart enough to say, no. You're caught up in the bike. You're not even caught up in what's good for you, definitely for me. Because I'm going to keep my $600 in my pocket. Like Davy Crockett. Can I have an amen? I'm sorry, but we got to finish. Because there's other things we got to do. So you're not getting out on time. Can I have an amen? Quick, let's get this one. Very important. And so it was when the king saw Esther, the queen. Now, I tell you what, she dressed up because she wants the king to understand what he's missed the last 30 days. Can I have an amen, somebody?
Yes, sir. She wanted the king to go, wow! Yeah, girl. That's what they act in Persia. Don't you serve in Persia? Wow! What's wrong with me? I hadn't seen you for 30. Get over here, girl. She dressed up, put on the royal robe, and she put on the right attitude so the king could have the right response. If you don't put the right attitude with the right clothing and the right robes, you still messed up. Well, she would have walked into the king and looked at how good she was and how good looking she was and how he had missed her, and all of a sudden she go, Come on, girl. Oh, you looking at me now, huh? You ain't talked to me in 30 days, you old nappy-headed rascal. Come on, girls, what's up with that? What's up with that? Your husband said, what's wrong? If you don't know by now, he don't know. You just messed him up. He's just figured out, I should know. You think he gonna say something to prove he don't know? Oh, well, he heading for the garage. And you get madder. I'm sorry. When a dog play checkers, help him out. Some of y'all didn't get that, did you? You ain't no way you understood that last statement, right? Okay. Sorry. Does a dog play checkers? No. So if you ever got a dog to play checkers, thank God that he's playing checkers. You know what you want to do? You want to improve his play. So when he makes a wrong move, you slap his paw. Oh! Not like an old dog howling. Bam! Oh! Take another. Bam! Oh! Now, if a dog don't play checkers naturally, and he's moving it every time he moves, you smack his paw, what are you going to do? You're going to quit playing checkers. And you just lost a whole circus deal. You could have made all kinds of money on that stupid dog. Encourage to move. Thank you for moving. And then you say under your breath, you stupid idiot. I think another way to let you know. Think you also had that attitude when she walked into the king? Think we should have that attitude when we walk into the King of Kings? You see, I'm running out of time. But we got into the rapture. But Esther is a lady. Because she walked in, girls. And he held that scepter out. The last word she says, if I perish, I perish. How do you think she felt when the king lifted that scepter? You don't think that was some rejoicing and relief? Or do you think she had that attitude like most of the women have in our society today that's been taught? You don't have to put up with that. Who gave you the scepter anyway? Who made you the scepter holder? Can I have an amen, girls? I can hold that scepter just as good as you can. As a matter of fact, I can hold it better. Give it here. Now, I'm going to go to my room and I'll let you know when I want to see you. Where's Bill Mays? Bill Mays doing a disservice too? Dr. William Mays. Ladies and gentlemen, check out your robes. Check got your royal dress. Is it fitting? And I'm not talking about size when I talk about fitting. I'm talking about righteousness. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for our royal robes. Thank you for those of us who need to change them or clean them up. Amen.